Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, it's good to have you today.
Well, it's again good to be here and get into the Word and see what God has to say about relationships.
I know. We're right in the middle of a very exciting series that we started out a number of months ago on really what we need to do to get our families in shape spiritually. And we're in the middle of a segment of that in terms of healthy relationships. It started off as a theology of biblical manhood, but as we got into the principles that God designed for that, it ended up being really a discussion on healthy relationships.
You know, Doc Horn, if we could study, detailed study, every implication of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and following through the end of Genesis chapter 2, I don't think there would be anything else that we would really have to discuss regarding marriage relationships to make it work.
It's all there, in other words.
Yeah, and we talked today about the woman being belittled as though submission makes the woman a lesser being.
Right.
Well, when God created man, we see dignity and sanctity in her.
Wow.
Her dignity was by her construction because it was by God.
Right.
Her dignity was the completion of mankind. What a role she had. Her dignity is the celebration by man because you know the Hebrew here when he woke up and saw Eve. I mean, that was indeed a celebration.
Right.
Because keep in mind, all he had ever seen up to this point was anteaters and rhinos. And he wakes up and sees Eve, and there was one tremendous celebration.
I'm just having a mental image of that.
And then we see the sanctity.
There's no comparison between Eve and a rhino.
No, and I tell men sometimes at men's conferences that, you know, you may not love animals as much as you think you do if you get a new glimpse of the Eve God has given you.
Oh, man.
And get that relationship right. But then we think of the sanctity of marriage, how they were one in creation, they were one in covenant, they were one in permanence. And they were one in the physical relationship. So right from the beginning, God intended it to be what it should be.
And we're thankful.
Yes.
I really am thankful that I'm not married to an anteater.
No, that does conjure up some images.
I've been trying not to laugh as you've been talking here, Doc. I've got tears coming out the corner of my eyes with some of those metaphors. But that is true. I mean, the Lord did give to the woman a great deal of dignity and a great, and as you said, sanctity in that relationship.
And you know, that dignity has never been lost. I mean, there has been an attempt to destroy the dignity of woman. There has been an attempt to destroy the symmetry of that relationship. Mm-hmm. And definitely attempt for the exclusivity of that relationship. In other words, it's a very exclusive. It's not an asymmetrical, it's very exclusive. It's one man, one woman.
I wonder how different our marriages would be if we men could just communicate the dignity, like you're saying, and the sanctity that God assigned to our mate.
Well, that's a part of what we're going to get into in the New Testament, in the filling
right.
of the Holy Spirit in that relationship, because we don't have it within ourselves. We are too selfish.
Right.
But it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. Let's see, how did this relationship get ruined? I mean, everything at the end of Genesis chapter 2
is good.
Everything was good.
And then we get into chapter 3 and it's all gone.
Why don't you read chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3?
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die.
We see three things that I have put in the notes here, three things that were perverted in the garden. God had the perfect setup,
mm-hmm.
perfect situation, perfect relationship between God and man, perfect relationship between Adam and Eve. And how did it ruin? Satan comes in and puts a question mark where God had placed a period.
Mm-hmm. And that's his strategy today, isn't it?
I read a book within this last year. I forget the name of it right now, but it's dealing with communication. And it stated that the first use of language apart from God speaking to mankind, i.e. Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. was by Satan using words to get Adam and Eve to question the mm-hmm. goodness of God. The first use of language apart from God speaking to man was Satan using words to question the goodness of God.
Are you? Or is that book The War of Words?
I believe it is.
Yeah, by Ted Tripp.
Ted Tripp, The War of Words.
That's a phenomenal book.
And I had read that phrase in there, and I thought, boy, that is significant. So I got looking back at Paul's instruction in 2 Corinthians. And when we started doing mm-hmm. our worldview material, I went to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3, 4,
right.
and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty mm-hmm. through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that would exalt against what? The knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, what was Satan's attempt? To get, use words to draw man aside from obedience, to bring him captive to himself. And Paul is saying, use right thinking to bring your thoughts back into obedience and bring your thoughts back into submission.
To God's words.
To God's words. And thank the Lord we have that power within us, that through
exactly.
the Holy Spirit of God we can reverse that disobedience charge. But these words were used to bring disobedience.
And that became a challenge to God's authority.
So number one thing that I said was perverted was authority, mm-hmm. God's authority structure. Now we have anarchy.
Now, what is your definition of anarchy? How would you describe anarchy?
No rule. In other words, an anarchy is a situation where there is no rule. People cast off restraint and they just run wild. You see an anarchy situation, there's nobody in control.
Mm-hmm.
Each one is expressing however he wants to. I get so tickled sometimes, even though it's sad, watching news, people biffing rocks all the time. I mean, throwing rocks at tanks. But what they're doing is saying, no, I will not be controlled.
Right.
We certainly don't want God's authority controlling us.
Well, Judges has it very well stated. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Yeah, and what do we have? We have anarchy in the
anarchy,
book of Judges.
Right.
Because they continue to run away from God's plan.
Well, the reason I bring that up, Doc, is because most of us sometimes live in anarchy, but we would never describe ourselves as anarchists.
Yeah, it's an out-of-control life.
In our spiritual walk, we are completely not willing to submit to what God says.
Yeah.
We've cast off the restraint of God's word, and now we're living in spiritual anarchy.
Well, when you look at the marriage relationship, we certainly see that in that.
Oh, yeah.
Where there is God's authority structure is questioned. The second thing that I see that was turned aside was attitude. And now there's accusation.
Mm-hmm.
When man sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, God came in the garden and said, Adam, what have you done? And Adam said what?
The woman that you gave me.
Yeah. Who did he blame?
God
and
the woman.
But did he accept responsibility?
No.
So casting blame and passing the buck is as old as the Garden of Eden. Humanism
mm-hmm.
started in the Garden of Eden in verse 5. Ye shall be as gods. That little word, A-S, was the beginning of humanism, the birthplace of humanism.
Mm-hmm.
Because Satan said, there is no authority over your life.
Mm.
And then this casting blame and refusing to accept responsibility was born in the Garden of Eden when I started accusing. So my attitude went from
rejoicing,
joy.
Like we saw in chapter 2, celebrating over what God had done.
The celebration turned all of a sudden into accusation. Hey, this woman you gave me
mm-hmm.
drew me into this. And so the attitude soured. And the third thing that soured was atmosphere. I don't know how it could ever be illustrated, the contrast, the peace, the serenity, the joy of a perfect relationship with God as compared to the result after the fall.
Mm.
And man was cast out of the garden and the angel with the sword so that they could not get to the tree of life. I mean, what kind of a contrast did that have to be?
Wow.
And so We went from an atmosphere of joy to agitation. So authority became anarchy. Attitude became accusation. Atmosphere became agitation. And to prove that, we see what happened with Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was certainly an agitated situation.
Now, and this family became a dysfunctional family, in other words.
Yeah, first family became dysfunctional because they decided to disobey. Mom and Dad decided to disobey a clear-cut command of God. I used to preach a message to parents in my parent classes called How to Raise Cain. And that was one of my sermon titles.
One of the better attended ones, I imagine.
Parents, yeah. And now, if I were to look at this and take these steps backwards, there's authority, attitude, atmosphere. Now, if I walk into a church, I sense an atmosphere. What sets that atmosphere? Attitude. What sets the attitude? Relationship with authority. I go into a home, I sense an atmosphere. What causes the atmosphere? Attitudes in that home.
Mm.
What causes the attitudes? Relationship with authority.
Mm.
I go into a college. I go into a youth ministry. I go wherever you may go.
Anywhere you go, yeah.
An atmosphere is set by attitudes that is set by relationship with authority. Same thing with the corporate world. You walk into a corporation and there's tense atmosphere. Why? Because bad attitudes. Why? Because wrong relationship with authority.
So I'm listening to us this morning on the radio, going to work or sitting at home or wherever I am, and I'm thinking, you know what, if you were to come into my home, you would find not a good situation. The atmosphere would be one of agitation, and boy, you know, you talk about accusation, that happens in our home all the time, and it is because of a breakdown in authority. Where would you start? Where would you help that kind of a person start in terms of trying to change this around?
Well, first of all, I would say, is there admission of where we are? There has to be an acknowledgement. This is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not normal. I can't accept this as normal.
Mm-hmm.
Lambs flying through the air is not a normal home.
Right.
Kids screaming in the face of dad is not a normal home. That's not what God intended.
Mm-hmm.
Because the authority structure is that. So number one, I have to acknowledge. Number two, I have to ask, do I want help?
Right.
Do I want to change? Number three, I need to find someone who can help me as a man,
mm-hmm.
or help me as a woman to get these things back into perspective. So it starts going all the way back to transparency.
Yes.
Am I willing to be honest? This is where I am.
And on that note, we will end our broadcast today and pick it up in our next broadcast. We would encourage those of you listening, if this series is ministering to you, you can find today's broadcast and the other broadcasts in the series at www.thewordforlife.org, and we'd encourage you to go. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.